All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. You'll have to excuse me. Didn't have much sleep. I'm running on like a body armor energy, and we're gonna go ahead and continue to roll through this. DP's not here. Obviously, my mother has COVID. It's gonna be about a week or two before he comes back, so you can say October. And it's just gonna be me running the show for a while. Anyway, we got articles. So let's go ahead and just get started with them. I know I'm not reading them, but we are going to go ahead and talk about them. So let me go in here and look at what I've got. Quite a bit today. Let's see. We got... All right, so Century Media, you know, I'm a metal guy. Century Media dropped Vector because of the domestic abuse issues, which just happened a while ago. And according to what I've heard, you know, my writer actually watched the video. This dude was actually an asshole. You know we have Me Too and all that kind of stuff, but sometimes there is the dude that's the asshole. And he legitimately did pick his wife up and throw her against the wall and shit. And we're not talking like in a sexual deviance or degenerate kind of way. We're talking about, he was really trying to fucking harm her and just do some real fucking, hardcore aggressive shit. And, I ain't with all that. And, Century Media, who's owned by Sony now, bought them for $17 million. That's it, man. One of the biggest metal labels. Not Nuclear Blast, but one of the biggest metal labels. Only was worth about $17 million bucks, which is pretty fucking cheap, and all things considered. So that's done. Okay, NPR reports that America's Christian majority is on track to end. They said that Christians could make up less than half of the U.S. population within just a few decades. Man, but honestly, you know, if less people are going to believe in that, I don't know what they're going to roll into. Like, I mean, I like Christianity for its morals. I've never considered myself, it's been a long time since I've been in a church or anything. But for some of you, you really are, this religion's like a big deal to you. You know, Christ is a big deal. And of course, I know an awful lot about all that, having grown up in the church. And to me, it's always what Alan Moore says. It's the symbol that has the strength. It doesn't matter if Christ lived or not. It's the power that the symbol has that gives it its strength. That's where it's the most, the most powerful and something like that. Yeah. But that's where I am on that one. It is what it is, folks. And of course, there's some religious folks that will say that the Bible actually talks about this, that less people believe in God and, Christianity and that sort of thing. Oops, hold on. We don't need that. Millennials want to live a soft life, and it's changing how they pursue work. Now, this one's kind of interesting. Obviously you can't read anything on these websites, but it's called quiet quitting. Basically, I hate to say this, but I do kind of agree with it to an extent, and I'll tell you why. Quiet quitting basically is doing only the things you're supposed to do at your job and not fucking with anything else, like extra shit. Like, that's what we call it, extra shit. Oh, this is some extra shit, which it really is. It's basically stuff that isn't part of your job, but it's busy work to keep you there until you have to go home, kind of like being at school or something. And I never cared for it. It's just busy work. It's just you have to be there to a certain time. They can't just let you go. You have to, have the 8 hours or whatever, so they got to keep you there. And it really is pathetic. It's actually got to the point where my own boss had us in the back room for an hour. Just told us to stay in the back room, don't do nothing, and when we go home, we can clock out. Like, literally, I'm serious. The whole crew just standing around in the back room until we could leave, because, we didn't want us out on the floor or nothing. There wasn't nothing we needed to do. you know. So I kind of get it. It's like, when I go to work, I do my job, you know. I do it a little bit comfortably, but not super comfortably, because, you know, I sort freight. And sometimes I'll get shitloads of boxes that I have to sort as fast as I can, and I'll go through that like a madman. And then after that, I pull everything out, and that's pretty much my main job. So, of course, there's a lot of times where I'm not getting anything. I'm just kind of sitting around or chilling, and they don't like that. They're like, oh, yeah, we don't pay you to stand around or whatever. But at the same time, you know, I was pretty much paid to just sort freight. You know, there's a lot of times where I'm not getting anything. And they got a full crew on the line. You know, we unload trucks. So it's like, man, it's like, yeah. And, you know, other people, they get kind of bored. They take their phones out and stuff because, you know, you have periods where the shit breaks down because it's a piece of crap. It's a machine instead of like a push line like we used to have, where everybody had to get on it and work, and we got done like 4 hours earlier than we normally do. So yeah, I get chewed out. A lot of people get chewed out. It just depends on the boss, honestly. Some bosses don't give a shit, and some bosses they do. But also, they don't like the fact that I get my job done so fast. Like, I'm just really good. Get in there and I knock everything out, and they don't care for that. It's like they want somebody that works slower, so that I'm always seen working, even though when I get on it, I get on it and I just do my job. So I get the quiet quitting. Like, I get it. It's like, yeah, why do things that you're not fucking actually, you know, there for? It's like, oh, you're hired to do this job. Well, yeah, but I'm not hired to do this, 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 and this. And there's another crew of people that come in and do that. So why am I doing their job that they get paid for? And they get paid more. You know, because the night crew actually gets paid more than the day crew. So I'm like, why am I doing night crew work and getting day crew pay? Makes a really good argument. Makes a really good argument. And they don't want to hear that. But it's the truth. You know, I've actually got to the point where I've been in retail so long, I should have been a manager. It's just, I don't care for the bullshit and the hours and all the extra crap and sacrificing my life for that. And that's another thing I consider about being more comfy. You know, my bills are paid. I don't have to deal with a lot of bullshit, you know, that sort of thing. So it works for me. Now, people in Germany, they can now buy Wolfenstein 3D. This game was unbanned in 2019, but they had to do something with the classification from Germany's age rating board. This was a big issue, because GOG, pretty much, you couldn't buy it or any games related to the Wolfenstein series in Germany. And Germans were pissed. Germans are like, okay, why can't I buy this game? They were using VPNs just so they could buy it. And it's getting really stupid. So, hopefully now they've got it where you can actually do it. And let me check that out real quick, guys. I know we're live, but let's see. Let me see here. No. No. No, unfortunately, it's not going to let me look. I mean, I'd have to change my VPN to do that. Usually, you could just type in, like, gog.de, and it would do it. That's not doing it. So, okay, I can't look at it myself, but if you're in Germany, go to gog.com or however you access it there and see if you can buy Wolfenstein or any of the games that are previously banned in Germany. It's good that they're allowing these games to be available. I think some adult games are banned in Germany, and I think there's some other things that are banned in Australia and other countries, so... Hopefully they get those unbanned, because I don't think they can buy Evenickel, which sucks. Okay, so, People were giving Cyberpunk shit. But Cyberpunk 2077 Steam player count jumps after the Edge Runners update. And it's right now one of the most popular single player games on Valve's storefront. That makes sense. It's also why GOG is teaming up with Warner Brothers again. Remember, Warner Brothers had kind of a contract with them Cyberpunk was going to get released. Now that Cyberpunk is doing better, they've kind of renegotiated that contract, and I can tell. Because obviously we got the Shadow of Mordor, we've got the LEGO DC Villains game, we've got the new LEGO Builders game, which hasn't even been released yet. So we're getting Warner Brothers properties now on GOG that previously wouldn't happen, you know, because when Cyberpunk came out, of course we had the Batman Arkham games and stuff like that, all these great WB Warner Brothers releases. So now we're probably going to get more now that Cyberpunk 2077 has kind of redeemed itself after about 2 years. I mean, 2 years though isn't bad, I guess. Maybe it was just more of a 2022 game. Maybe they should have just baked it in the oven till 2022, but it's actually fun, and people are enjoying the new version of Cyberpunk 2077. So I'm kind of glad to see it. You know, it's, I mean, I will be honest about Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk, to me, I love walking around in the game, but the issue I'm having with Cyberpunk, mainly, is the fact that, let me move this a little bit, there we go, I don't know what that was, I must have been in the bathroom or something when I did that. Alright. But, yeah, the main issue I had with, hold on, I think it's doing it again. Alright, here we go. The main issue I had with Cyberpunk, guys, is the fact that it's mainly an assassin game. Like, you don't really get to walk around and enjoy things. You're just going on missions to kill this person and kill that person and kill this person and kill that person. So it does feel kind of GTA in a way, where you're just, you know, you gotta take out this gang and that gang, and I don't really like that. You know, that's just not my thing. I kind of would like it better if it was different kinds of missions. And I'm sure maybe there's a couple things that aren't just assassinate this person. There's probably a few unique and interesting missions. But so far, I don't know. I'm not just crazy about it being, you know. I like the looter shooter because I do like kind of the Borderlands stuff. And maybe one day it'll come to GOG. But I guess hell freeze over before then. But, The thing is, yeah, I just kind of wanted to walk around in a cool little cyberpunk city. And I guess you can do that in other games like Observer and, you know, other things they're working on right now. They're saying that Cloudpunk is pretty good, except it might be a little woke. I'm not real sure. But, yeah, those kinds of games are rather... this game, yeah, it's something I've... might go back to. I'm sure there's some people that'll say, oh yeah, Grim, you gotta play a little further in. It gets more varied and there's more stuff you can do, and I'm sure there is, so I may go back into it. It's a very long game, and you know, I just beat, what was it, Raiden 5, and then I got stuck in Panzer Dragoon Remake because I can't beat the boss of Chapter 3. He's just really complex. I don't like the fact that he can jump behind you and just... he can actually smash your dragon. And what sucks is you have to fight him, like, in a great big, like, two-part battle. Like, you fight the first form of him, and he's kind of easy. And then you fight the second one, and he jumps around, and he's got a lot larger life bar. And by this time, like, there's no health items in Panzer Dragoon. Like, that's one thing that sucks. There's no potions in Panzer Dragoon. It's like, I want to cheat because I can't literally finish the game normally. Like, there's no kind of help if you're I don't understand why they didn't make any kind of health potions that you could take with you, or any kind of items you could have to you know, heal your dragon. Because even in Star Fox, you had rings that you would fly around in, and those rings would heal your ship. So that's just really bad game design, in my opinion. Even though the game is an amazing rail shooter, the fact that you can't really heal your dragon from any damage whatsoever, and there's so much different things that you have to fight and avoid and stuff, and fight a really complex boss, just doesn't make the game very fun. That means I kind of have to go through it with Cheat Engine. And that kind of sucks, because I really didn't want to go through it with Cheat Engine. And a lot of people say, well, get good, but yeah, I don't really have the time to, like, go through that. The game can be beaten in an hour. It's not that long. And I just kind of wanted to explore it and see everything the game had to offer, because I was having fun with it on the first and second levels. And then I got to that really overpowered three-part boss fight, or two- or three-part boss fight, and I'm like, man, that's too much. I can't do all that. But, okay, we've got another one here about how social media is making teenagers ill. And basically what happened is there was Susie is her name. She's a 22-year-old college graduate from the Midwest. And she was admitted into a mental health clinic in Austin with a variety of common psychiatric disorders, depression, self-harm, that's cutting, and borderline personality disorder. BPD is a serious personality disorder that has 50 times the suicide rate of the general population. So, basically they said she didn't have any of the classic symptoms, but she's been spending 12 to 15 hours a day on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube after becoming depressed when her friends went away to university and she stayed home and attended a community college. So instead of trying to understand her... Trying to understand her depression, she started to follow the BPD influencers on there, which would make sense. Because you would want to follow people that had your condition to kind of maybe see how you could work through it, something like that. I mean, there's no harm in that, right? Unfortunately, she joined these online BPD groups, and she said she felt a sense of belonging, but she was learning about cutting her arms after watching videos of influencers declare that it helped them, the cutting helped them feel in control, or at least feel something. And she said she never liked cutting herself, but she did it because she thought that it might eventually offer relief. She also stated that the cutting and irrational behaviors that the influencers engaged in made them more interesting and authentic, which she found appealing. She said she lost all her friends and spent her days alone, days and nights alone and online being shaped by that community. Yep. And she got really better once they removed all her devices. She was calmer, less reactive, she made friends, she stopped cutting her arms, and all thoughts of suicide evaporated. But if she really had BPD, she shouldn't have been cured that quickly. Clients with BPD typically require many months or even years of treatment. So, they go on to say, we're living in the age of digital social contagion. It's a time where certain illnesses aren't spread by transmission, but by a biological infection that attacks the psychological immune system. I like the way they say this. Using algorithms that find and exploit our psychological vulnerabilities, we get sicker as big tech gets stronger. And make no mistake, we are getting sicker as a society with record rates of depression, suicide, loneliness, overdoses, anxiety, and addiction, emptiness, gender dysphoria, and mass shootings that are disproportionately impacting teens and young adults. All made worse by isolation and fear during COVID, of course. They also said, here's some interesting information. Beyond just the depression of living sedentary, isolated lives, we have the congressional testimony of Frances Haugen, the Facebook whistleblower who shared internal emails that showed Instagram's own research indicated that their product increased suicidality in teenage girls and worsened their eating disorders. It seemed that being exposed to a constant torrent of toxic content and comparing ourselves to curated faux glamour of vapid and shallow influencers isn't good for the psyche, which we knew. But it's even worse than this much research and toxic social comparison effort. So, yeah, I mean, let's see. Because she goes on a bit. Like, I mean, I understand. This is Dr. Nicholas Kadaris. He's a chief clinical officer of Omega Recovery in Austin, Texas, and Maui Recovery in Hawaii. And he says he wrote a book called Digital Madness, How Social Media is Driving Our Mental Health Crisis and How to Restore Our Sanity. That's probably true. But like I said, yeah, I do believe there is definitely a lot of problems with these influencers that are teaching people to do, like, harmful things. Like, I don't know if you consider me an influencer or what you fucking call me, but I really try to discourage people from doing anything harmful. Like, unless, I don't know, unless you're some, you know, hardcore righty and you don't like porn. You know, I'm like, well, you know, you've got adult content. That doesn't mean constantly watch adult content. That doesn't mean, you know, just do nothing but masturbate all day. There's no good to come from that. But, you know, if you enjoy this kind of content, we have that for you. And if you like the stories and the characters and the situations they deal with, we have that for you. And sometimes it can be a little rough and a little hardcore, like with Starless, but then we have things like Being a Dick, which are a little more lighthearted. So, you know, we don't want to give you anything that could pose a mental health issue. Like, we don't want to encourage addiction, or we don't want to encourage any kind of, you know, suicidal thoughts or, you know, violent actions. I'm not for any of that. You know, there are some YouTubers, you know, people in this community that might be kind of spreading that information. And I mean, they do what they do, but I'm not a part of it. I never, you know, there was a time where I was more, I guess you could say, rage induced and all that. But I'm not like that anymore. And, you know, since seeing all the mass shootings and things like that, I just don't think it's good to kind of promote any more sort of rage. I mean, granted, we do absolutely have issues where, you know, things are awful. But yeah, I'm enjoying the decline, and I mean, we do just have to kind of face it and prepare for things that may happen. So that's all I'm going to say on that one. And keep off your social media time as much as you can. Like, I mean, I like getting on Discord and chatting, and sometimes I go on Twitter, but I've actually disabled my Facebook account. Because, yeah, I was on there too much arguing with people about bullshit, and it really doesn't matter. Like, they all kind of go away. Now, the bad thing about that is you lose, like, good friends. And, I mean, friends you've had for a long time, like, in the music industry and things that are actually cool. And you like to talk to them, and they've helped you out. I've had some guys actually literally help me out on social media with, like, health issues and things, and because they've been there, and they dealt with them, so they could help me. And, you know, I don't want to really lose those connections, but at the same time, there's so many connections and so many bullshit people that are just following you either to meme or shitpost or just because they want to make fun of you, just all that kind of thing. They have their own worldview, and they think your worldview is harmful, or the things you stand for are harmful, and they like to make little groups against you and things. I'm pretty sure there's a hate group against my real name, and that's fine. I don't really care. Because I don't stand for anything that they claim. It doesn't matter. Let's see. Streaming is even more dangerous than you realize. And, of course, we have... Oh, yeah. Okay, so... This article, it basically says... You know, VR dangers. Basically, okay, if you have VR streaming, you could accidentally slam into a wall, or there's a guy that busted his lip open. You just gotta be careful when you got a headset on. Even TFM said he knocked something over when he had his headset on. And he, of course, he doesn't like the VR because it messes with his kind of inertia. It throws him off. And sometimes it does that to people. He said, man, I love the idea. I just can't do it. And that kind of sucks for him. I hope AR, like, maybe works better for him. But, you know, you have cooking accidents. Don't forget about that woman that almost burned her damn house down. And pets? Yep. You can have a cat perched itself on the back of the gaming chair And a cat, and she wanted to lean in for a kiss. This is Sarah Kate, but a cat wasn't feeling the love and scratched her in the eye, and there was blood pouring from her eye. Oh my god. And there's a dog that decided to literally jump into the mix, and it smacked his head into her jaw so forcefully she had to cancel the rest of the stream. Your equipment, yeah. You can absolutely destroy shit. You have to be careful when you're moving around. It's that Minx Kitty shattered her PC's glass side panel trying to remove it. And Lucia KF Fan, who managed to destroy his PC in less than a second. His house was decorated for Christmas, and one of his viewers suggested he try to hit a plastic reindeer with a golf ball. For reasons we'll never understand, he agreed and later sent the ball soaring through his PC. And you have accidental trespassing. Oh yeah! Broken monitor or bashed head. I remember that this is real. There was a woman doing, oh yeah, this is old, but this just shows you some thoughtery. This is thoughtery you guys didn't even know I knew about. Like, I don't even think you guys, this was like way back when. This was prior to OnlyFans. This was just early chatterbait webcamming. There was a woman, and this is illegal, by the way. She posted this on Facebook, because there was an adult group I used to be a part of on Facebook back in the day when you could be in such things. And this girl, she decided to go with her friends and basically record herself inside of a gas station store. You know the little stores they have in the gas stations? She basically went to one of those stores and she recorded herself flashing and showing off her breasts and vagina, and she got arrested. Oh yeah, she got arrested. She said, I was only doing it to show off for this group. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't be an idiot and trespass into other people's houses and you know, different stores. You know, that's not your property. You can't go to somebody's establishment and act that way. I remember there was a guy that recorded himself masturbating in a Walmart. And there was this black woman, or this white, I can't remember. But he literally nutted on her in the damn Walmart. There's a video of this. And I actually saw it and I couldn't believe it. And it was disgusting. It wasn't showed as like a porn thing. It was showed as just, it was an outrage thing. People couldn't believe this guy actually did it. And I was like, oh my god, this guy has some serious, fucking issues going on. Don't stream and drive. There's people that do that. And, he drove fast and somewhat recklessly, slammed the side of his car into a guardrail. Oof! While out for a drive on stream, the camera got caught. The camera caught an SUV driving straight into a deer. Lost at sea. There was a most shocking incident of a real life stream gone wrong that Twitch has ever seen. Basically, they bought a sailboat, not just to use it for travel, but to create some of the most unique streaming content out there. They spent more than a month sailing the Mediterranean Sea. Then 46 days into the trip, the engine failed and they were lost at sea. Wow. They had a tugboat that came and rescued them. And swatting. Swatting is a big deal. We already know about it. Nick got swatted. The quartering got swatted. So many people have gotten swatted. Swatting is a very big deal. Don't forget about the Call of Duty guy. There was a death. Remember Andrew Finch? Now it's used to harass streamers. It says, Aiden Ross, Nadina Amin, I Show Speed, and there's more. XQC made headlines when he admitted he had to move because his home was being swatted on a regular basis. And a man broke into his home, leaving him at a loss to stay safe. Then we also have stalkers. Amaranth told her friends a harrowing story about a stalker who traveled to her town all the way from Estonia. Damn! All the while, he made regular posts about his journey, even claiming that he sold everything he owned in order to have the money to find Amaranth. She was understandably shaken, writing, "I have a security system, a pew-pew device gun, and lately I have a armed employee living in the guest quarters." My God, she's hired guards. And New York Times published a report about how frequently large streaming personalities, most often women, are targeted by stalkers. Yeah, remember the guy who came into the girl's house and demanded nudes, and the police, her father, who was a former police officer, shot and killed him? Even relaxed streaming can cause injuries. Mm-hmm. Repetitive stress or overuse, being at the computer 8 hours, 8 or more hours a day. Tendinopathy, which is limited mobility of arm tendons and can be a result of built-up scar tissue. The other group of injuries we see is posture-related stuff. It's not made, human body is not built to sit at a desk for hours on end. So you have to take breaks and stretches. Streamers who created games of their own endorsed Dr. Disrespect. Wreckful. Oh, he died. Day 9. Okay. Lori Pop? Huh. Good Guess? Okay. I don't know. There's a lot here. I don't know what all that is. But anyway, I think we're done on that article. I don't know if they went into another article or what. Okay, so, PC Gamer, after decades of waiting, Suikoden 1 and 2 remasters are finally here, guys. Suikoden, whatever. 10 years in the making. The Suikoden 1 and 2 are being remastered and released on Steam in 2023. So there you go, guys, and they'll probably be on Switch. So, there you go. You won't get 3, but 3 is hard. Like, I had 3 on the PS2. That game was... Like, I love the writing in that game. It's almost like Game of Thrones kind of really deep, epic writing. I mean, a lot of people say Game of Thrones isn't... Or Song of Ice and Fire, rather. Let's just talk about the books themselves. It's that level. It's hard. It's really, really, really hard. It's very easy to die with the weakest enemies. It's almost like, I don't even want to say the Dark Souls, but it's a very, very difficult game. You'll struggle through it. I had a lot of a hard time with it. Let's see. Okay, another metal news. We've got Norwegian Gothic metal pioneers Tristania calling it glitz. I know we've got Clown World music playing, but this is more of a sad note. Tristania. Oh, man. I've listened to them for so many years. It's just 26 years. Probably some of you guys haven't heard them. But there was a serious medical situation in near family within the band. And, of course, he's doing his Serenia stuff now more often. Which Serenia is still going on. And the latest record was 2013, so it's been a while. I mean, they said we're still talking about it, but they are absolutely dead now. They're done. They've got some really good albums, though. Widow's Weeds, stuff like that. Now, they started out doom. They started out kind of gothic doom, and I mean like death doom kind of stuff. And then they got a little bit more gothic metal, where you had more like the choirs and the female vocals. Stuff like that. So, I mean, it's good. My favorite record from them, like, again, is Widow's Weeds, the one that came after that, and then the third one. Darkest White, I don't even fucking really remember. So that shows you how much I cared about that record. But, yeah. Definitely worth checking out. You can find a lot of their stuff on pretty much any streaming platform or YouTube. So, you know, listen to some of that old doom, death, you know, it's a little depressing, but that stuff actually helped me get through shit. So, jam it if you're into it. And, this is cool. Metal Sucks reporting that Morbicon brings us a new black metal supergroup. Now, I like the fact that, again, they got metal news, because I used to be, you know, part of the metal industry. Municipal Waste, Cannabis Corpse, which is a parody of Cannibal Corpse that actually does really good songs. Very good death metal. Iron Reagan, they're more political anti-Trump stuff, but their music is good. Like, they're a really good, heavy, crazy band. And you also have Discordance, Axis on drums, and Vocalist Vreth Lillmans of And Oceans and Fintroll. Very good to see. Like, I haven't heard anything from And Oceans in a long, long time. I used to love And Oceans. They put out a record called Cypher. And they have this one song. It's like, can you see the light? No, no, no. Can't you see the light? Can't you see the light? No, no. Like, it sounds a lot better. What is it? Chthonian, Her Face Forms Worms. That's the name of it. That song is just really good. Because it's one of those really black-pilled songs. That it's like, but the problem with that record is the production is so poor. It sounds like it was recorded in a garage. And of course, it's got all kinds of electronic effects. So it sounds like, yeah, it was recorded in somebody's old school Windows XP computer in their garage. And I mean, I still love it. And they still have some really good records. Especially, a lot of people say all the early stuff is better. And they weren't always an electronic black metal group. They did other things. They've done a lot of sounds over the years. So, definitely recommending that group. A lot of people just haven't heard them. Fintroll, of course. Now, if you like Jesus, you're probably not going to like their lyrics too much. Because, like, they've made probably about 50 songs about killing Jesus. But... like, they've got some really good songs. Like, Trollhammerin's a really good one. You can watch a video for that. It's very catchy. Yes, they don't like... it's about killing Christians and Jesus like a troll hammer. But, you know, at the time, you have to kind of really understand that it was more about religion being oppressive and, like, just trying to force people into things that they didn't want to be in. And that was kind of what they were talking about. They were just really kind of upset and angry about that sort of thing. And of course, they made a record later that was more about Odin and, you know, that sort of thing. Because they're more into that kind of belief, which, I mean, it's perfectly understandable. But this new record from Morbicon comes out on October the 28th. And it's probably going to be good. I'm hoping that it'll be interesting. Now we have Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which has some of Netflix's highest audience scores ever. Really, really, really good. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really enjoying everything that's being talked about it. The lolly must stay, hashtag. All that kind of thing. It's just been really good. I'm glad that it's gotten so much promotion. I need to sit down and watch it because they really take Cyberpunk seriously. And I know some of my anime nerds here have already watched the whole series in one sitting. Like, as fast as I watched The Boys. So, yeah. I'll give it a shot, man. I love Cyberpunk. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, if you guys, you know, just let me know what you think about it. Did it rock your world? Was it cool? Did it make you want to go back and play the Cyberpunk computer game or video game? Now, here's something interesting. I don't usually talk about BuzzFeed, because BuzzFeed is hit or miss. So even though they did have that CIA pedophile article, which, you know, is 100% true. I mean, they got the damn documents after 15 times... you know, pressing the government for them. They got those documents from the CIA. So yeah, they sometimes hit. Often they miss. Now, therapists, psychologists, and other mental health experts are sharing red flags to look for in the first 6 months of a relationship. And basically what they're saying here is, like, deflecting responsibility for choices, both small and large, from where to eat to every challenge in past and current relationships. And then inability to regulate emotions. Well, that's true. If somebody's going through some shit, it's a little hard to deal with. Minor, very subtle attempts at control. Weird comments about your friends, which is building up to wanting to cut you off. Weird patterns with money, like never letting you pay, even if you insist. Not being okay with you spending time alone. This is a huge red flag. Gentlemen, I don't care who the fuck you're fucking. You need time alone. You need time to yourself to do the things that you enjoy doing. They don't fucking own you. Not being okay with you not answering them right away. Blowing up and then apologizing profusely. Wow, I sometimes do that, unfortunately. Freezing you out when they're upset. Using silence as a weapon. Oh, I hate that. I'll make it worse by just saying the most horrendous, craziest shit to make somebody talk. All these are signs down the road. They're going to be much larger patterns of manipulation attempts at control. Now, these are people, by the way. These are just anonymous people talking about things. So these people have no actual, you know, training in psychology. A grown person with no close friends. Now, that's a... Oh, excuse me. These are anonymous... The last person was a clinical psychologist. The other person was a therapist from Michigan. Three main points of relationship are boundaries, boundaries, expectations, and communications. If you're not able to verbalize your boundaries in a new relationship where they're crossed or not respected, that's a huge red flag. If you have difficulty communicating, finding yourself altering your true feelings or true meaning of what you want to say, it's also a red flag. If you do not have matching expectations of a relationship, be prepared for a long, painful road. For example, one person wants to find the right person and settle down. The other wants to attend school and is not looking for long-term commitment. That's a mental health professional in Arkansas. Huh. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to do that. You don't want to settle down with somebody that doesn't want to settle down. I mean, fucking common sense. One glowing hot red flag is when one or both partners do not feel safe or comfortable sharing hurts, needs, or wants in the relationship. That's true. Poor conflict resolution skills. They always blame the other person or you. Take zero accountability. They never apologize or never apologize unless prompted to. They have explosive rage. I can't stand that. They do not ask for what they want or need, but instead get angry and resentful later. They may even act out later. You ask for what you want and need in a relationship, and they seem to ignore your needs or requests. That includes respecting your boundaries. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of these guys. It's, you know, several red flags. Hold on. It's not that many. We're almost done. It says, I'm a mental health clinician in training, but anything that potentially signals poor communication skills or unwillingness to communicate is a huge red flag. If you're always the person to call, to text or call your partner first, if you're always the one to start conversations, that's... If your partner is quick to avoid or brush off arguments, that's definitely a red flag. Relationships are a two-way street, and without good communication, conflict and resentment are more likely to build up. When a man casually puts his hand over the front of your neck, imagine you're standing next to him, standing next to each other, puts his arm around you, rests his hand over the front of your neck. It's a major sign that he may violate you physically at some point? Really? Similarly, men that grab you by your wrists to have you follow them somewhere. Again, a sign that there's no respect of your bodily autonomy, and he's more than likely going to physically violate you. That's a New York clinical psychologist. I don't know. That sounds like a fucking paranoid, crazy person to me. Possessiveness. It might seem cute that a new partner is always calling you, but eventually it drives you fucking mad. It's like, careful and be firm. I know I have other plans. A healthy partner will understand that and give you space. Love bombs. We know about love bombs. Pay attention to how the relationship started. If the significant other cheated on you with their previous significant other with you, then they might cheat on you too. Yep. If he is unavailable on a regular schedule, so if you only see him Tuesday or Friday, he may be in another relationship. His family seems a bit cold towards you and not really interested in you. Leaves his phone in the car if he spends the night or turns it off completely every time you're together. Pushing their wants on you to the point of making you responsible for their happiness. Their feelings are valid, but delivery, tone, and ability to let some of the little things go takes a level of maturity that men do not have. Their feelings are valid, but delivery, tone, and the ability to let just some of the little things go takes a level of maturity that many do not try to have. Sorry about that. When a partner uses attacking language at any point in the relationship, when you disagree, the goal is to talk through the issue, not argue. When one partner attacks the other, name-calling, using absolutes, and blaming, that is a huge red flag. Indicates unwillingness to listen, lack of empathy, and poor emotional regulation. Now, of course, everybody's guilty of some of these things, but it's just a matter of how guilty you are, like... And again, some people are just like, you know, fuck it, Grim, I have a doll, I don't care. So, hey, that's more power to you. I'm glad you got a doll or a pillow or a AI waifu or whatever you do, man. Whatever fucking works. Now, this is a weird one. Why aren't there more video game characters on the autism spectrum? No! No! Look, I go through enough shit. Do you really want a fucking character on the autism spectrum? If you can't tell, I'm on the spectrum. That doesn't mean I want characters to fucking be on the spectrum. Autistica. Yeah, she's autistic. I can tell just by looking at her. Not enough progress has been made in autistic game character representation. A couple of characters that stand out are River and To the Moon and Overwatch's Symmetra, although it took a fan theory to confirm that she was autistic after the developers agreed. Oh god, do we really need people with autistic? Do you remember the days when Bill and Lance were two big muscle men and they had machine guns? And he didn't have shirts, but they had fucking combat pants. Or combat, you know, fatigues, you know, on their... That's all they had. They had their pants, the camouflage pants. That's what it was. But they just would run around and shoot guns and, you know, they'd play good music and you'd have fun and you'd die a lot. Did you care if anybody was autistic? Like, if Bill started having tics or something, would... Did that harm you in any way? Like, the fact that he didn't have any kind of weird tics or... For me, no. Like, when I played Ghouls and Ghosts, I didn't care if Arthur was, like, autistic. I was like, oh, he's autistic like me. No, I'm just playing a game as a video game. I'm playing a game as a video game character. It's not that big of a deal. You know, you don't need to make all these characters. Oh, we need more autistic characters in games. As somebody with autism, I don't really fucking care, honestly. Doesn't bother me. The Woman King prevails with a projected $18 million opening. Now, let's talk about this for a second. Let's talk about this for a second. The Woman King. Now, the Woman King also, and I'm going to mention this. I don't know if I actually posted this in my server. No, I didn't. But basically what I had said was something to the tune of, oh God, there's no way I'm going to find this shit. But okay, so... The problem with the Woman King is that it's revisionist history. Like, none of it's actually fucking true the way they say it is. And even though it's very well acted and people like it, it's an original idea, they definitely changed the history to make the black characters look like heroes, even though they were technically not. History will show you that. If you look up the true story behind this King of Women show, the movie, you'll find out. And you'll be like, oh my god, that's horrible. Why would they do this? Because they like their money. The Woman King. And it's, here's one. I love my boyfriend, but I don't see a future with him. What should I do? Well, you should leave, lady. That's what you should do. I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for 5 years, and we moved in together earlier this year. We were essentially living together during the COVID lockdowns. First relationship I've had where there hasn't been an element of emotional or sexual abuse. What? Really? What the fuck kind of men are you getting? I sense something. Spider sense is tingling. Guess what, guys? She's not happy because there isn't an element of emotional or sexual abuse. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm fucking wrong. This dude is treating her like a fucking pretty princess, and she doesn't like it because he's probably not as aggressive as some of those other guys. Am I wrong? I bet I'm not wrong. It's like, And I love him a lot. He treats me so well. He's very caring, affectionate, supportive, and we share a lot of core values regarding politics and general beliefs and other big things. We have fun together, and I enjoy spending time with him. However, early in our relationship, he got ill, and he's been struggling with that for a while now. It really limits his ability to go out and do things with me and even his own friends. He hasn't been to a doctor yet about it, and it remains undiagnosed as to what's wrong. I found this part of a relationship very challenging, as I'm a very outgoing and active person. On top of his illness, he's a homebody. He's pretty introverted and likes to be on his own. His ideal day is watching our TV or playing video games. I don't mind these activities, but this has become the main way we spend our time together. Having spent so many different interests doesn't mean we have our own lives and aren't joined at the hip, but I've been getting an increasing feeling that maybe we aren't very compatible. At first, I thought the dynamic was all right. He gives me a lot of freedom, and I can go adventuring and know that I've got my stable rock waiting for me, but now I feel like something is missing. Being independent is good, but there's so many things I want to do with him, experiences I want to share, and I often feel a sense of loss and restriction. It feels like we want two different things. I've been struggling to picture our future together, which in the past few years wasn't the case. We would talk about houses and weddings and all that, and I've been feeling a lot more anxious and almost numb about the relationship. But also the thought of leaving him and not having him in my life makes me feel like I might throw up because everything on the whole seems good. He treats me so well, and we built a lovely life together, and I don't want to throw away a good thing. I've always felt that if someone loves you and treats you right, you've hit the jackpot. I feel so guilty for feeling like this isn't enough now. I'm feeling so lost, guilt-ridden, confused right now. Okay, now, this is what they say. This is what the woman says. Love isn't enough. It's something to view it as everything. No offense to Lennon McCarthy, but it's not all you need in life nor relationship. It's a lot. It's all the good shit. I mean, it's the good shit. It's the stuff that binds us all. It's the space between moments and atoms and any other poetic thought you can have. Love lives up to all the art that's made about it and the songs sung about it and the chicken noodle soups made with it, but it's not enough. Which, of course, is an excruciating and often acceptable truth. What do you mean it's not enough? I love this person, okay, but you can't live with them. You can't be happy. You can't be fully alive with them and only them as your partner. That doesn't negate how you feel about them. It just means you need something else, too. No, don't tell her that, you fucking idiot. You're not more, not better, just different. You're not evil for having needs. It's devastating. It's depressing. It's grueling, but it's gutting when that happens, but it's not your fault. One person wants kids, other doesn't. One wants to live in Idaho, and the other can't move 2 miles from Zara without getting hives. From a Zara, whatever that means. Love can't bridge the gaps. It can't make two people want the same things. I urge you to talk to your partner. The desire for something new outweighs the desire to make it work. Yeah, I mean, that's true. Good Lord. You're absolutely allowed to walk away. I'm not a doctor, and I'm going off very little info. Well, then why are you answering fucking questions? Alright. Mariah Carey releasing a long-lost rock album that the record company never hoped you'd hear. She recorded an alternative rock record in secret in 95 to the horror of her record label. She's tracked down the original mixes, and she wants to share it with the world. Kind of interested a little bit, because this might be a pretty decent record. She was inspired by artists like Hole, Alanis Morissette, and Veruca Salt. Wow. And she even did a cover of Cheap Trick's Surrender. Well, damn. And they wouldn't release it because they said it would ruin her image. Wow. Well, I'm kind of curious. I do want to hear it. Let's see. Dear Annie. Okay, this is the one we talked about on my show. So now I'm going to read it. Finding out my wife lied about her sexual history forever changed our marriage. Dear Annie. I've been married to a wonderful woman for almost 50 years. That alone should explain our relationship. Our courtship and marriage were wonderful. She was everything I wanted my wife and mother of my children to be, and she has been, except for one detail. She lied to me about her sexual past during the time we were dating and before. She'd implied that, like me, she had no sexual experience. 12 years and 4 children into our marriage, she suffered an emotional meltdown because of a difficult childhood and years of lying to me. Counseling produced a whole mess of ghosts and goblins from her youth, and then finally came the big one. She had lied to me about her virginity and sexual past. What this did to her was cause a dark 2 years in her life that took therapy to work through. She's never discussed or wanted to discuss how it has impacted me. Initially, she told me she lost her virginity by being date raped. Later on, it became evident that that was another lie. I think she used that story because she thought I could accept it more easily. Then she slept around with three more guys after that. Who knows how many. Her telling me all this essentially ended my marriage that day and started our second one. I still love her, but it's different. For over 38 years, I've been married to my best friend, my partner, who I share everything with. Our money, our home, our kids. We share our lives. The day she told me the truth, the intimacy that we had was gone. We are more like business partners, sharing what we have made of our lives. She has been completely focused on our children and grandkids, but she hasn't got a clue what her past has done to me. Even in sexless old age, in my mind, I still see visions of her with these other guys. Still young, they never age. In my mind, they visit me every day. Counseling has helped reassure me about my love for her love for me, and pointed out that I could have had a miserable life out of a different kind and married someone else. Sometimes life can be like Beauty and the Beast. You get handed both. I believe it's retroactive jealousy OCD. It's a horrible curse. I've had to pay for her sins. Being in a marriage with the person you love and knowing the desire and intimacy were thrown away and handed out to other guys has changed everything. My advice is to never lie about any sexual history or details with dating. It is so destructive. So that's crazy. Absolutely crazy, guys. Then, of course, we have the Lolly thing, which I talked about with Cyberpunk. Okay, let's see. What else have we got here? All right, here's another one. A lot of these advice columns. Dear Mary, my wife of 30 years is no fun anymore and is always too tired for everything, including sex. I'm a happily married man in my 60s, married for over 30 years with three children and a clutter of grandchildren who gladden my heart every time I see them. When I married, my wife was just amazing, beautiful, full of fun, great hostess. Her endless patience with all my foibles was ready to join in any adventure and was a marvelous mother to our children. But over the past 10 years, something has happened to her. The fun seems to have gone out of her life and out of our relationship. Everything seems to be a bother to her. She rarely wants to entertain anymore. She's not interested in going to the theater, concerts, or even out to dinner. She seems tired all the time. I've asked her to go to the doctor, but she says she is fine and to stop bothering her. We haven't been away on holiday for 6 years. She says she wants to be around the grandchildren, but now when they come, she finds them a bother. And our children don't want to tire her out, so they are not coming as regularly as before. So now she complains because she never sees them. Friends went on the Orient Express from London to Venice just before the pandemic and absolutely adored it. Then they stayed on for a few days and had great fun. I suggested to my wife that we do it too, but then she saw the cost. She was horrified and refused to entertain the notion, even though we had ample money for the odd extravagance. I am at my wit's end. I still love her. To me, she is still beautiful and still has the spark that first attracted me all those years ago. But how do I get that sparkle back in her eyes and her attitude to life? She used to be so positive, but is now negative about everything. We have no sex life, which I miss because it was a very important part of our life. It's not for the want of trying on my part, but she always says she's too tired. Yep. I mean, they said she could be depressed and, honestly, it just sounds like to me that she's just getting old. I mean, that happens. People get old and they change. Like, you get more aches and pains and you just have less of a will to do things that you used to do when you were younger. You know, it happens. I mean, maybe you'll divorce and get a doll and that'll spark your sex life. You may even go buy a doll. Like, I think Phil's had situations where there was an elderly couple and the wife just said, no, I don't want to have sex anymore. I'm not into that anymore. It's not my thing. Because that does happen. Women sometimes do just turn off the spigot. And the guy got him a doll and he goes through a bunch of different dolls. He's an older man. And maybe that's just what's going to start happening with some older folks. Why are pick-me women being blamed for toxic relationships? Well, we're almost done here. Okay, I've looked at this. Originally, it was talking about black women. But basically, the only thing they say about pick-me is that they promise a lot of shit. Like, they... And, of course, they, like, promote what this author considers misogynistic comments, which are anti-feminism comments. Any woman that tries to chameleon and say she's anti-feminism is considered a misogynist, even if she's a chameleon and she's just saying it. But basically, they say in the article that pick-me's are chameleons. That's pretty much what she says, that they're just doing it because that's the kind of partner they want to attract. So they basically put on that mask. And that's all it is. And they just try to say, oh, I'm different. I'm not like the other women. That's all it is. It says, at the end of the day, we just want to be chosen and feel loved. And then they mention in bold here, shaming mostly women online for engaging in pick-me behavior is misogynistic. Women are allowed to have dissenting opinions about how to navigate relationships without it just being about seeking male validation. So, I don't know. It's crazy. Okay, Patton Oswalt actually made, you notice that he's done all the cartoons and animal characters. He was the Crow and the Sandman. He was the characters that Black Noir talked to in The Boys. He played the little unicorn in Happy. You know, he's played a lot of cartoon characters lately and seems to be doing pretty well for him. So, but He's taking on MAGA clowns in his own woke self. So, yeah, he's basically one of these guys that's anti, if you're not leftist or anything like that, yeah, he don't care for you. You know, he's just a progressive comic. That's all he is. I mean, he's very good at what he does with the acting of the cartoon characters. But, yeah, he's just one of these guys that doesn't like the whole, like, you know, he's, you get what I'm saying. Okay, so United Arab Emirates, this is important. Basically, the nationalnews.com has put an article said, he said yes, the women taking marriage proposals in their own hands. And of course, they're men from the United Arab Emirates. Why? Because they have money. Will you money me? I mean, marry me. From writing rap lyrics to hiring a special venue, some women are popping the question themselves. Why? Because he has money! Sakina Karam, 26, always dreamt of being proposed to in a grand way, but had a change of heart after meeting her partner of 3 years, Adam DeMello, 27, an accountant. They live in Dubai. He has done so much for me. Yeah, I'll bet. She's a senior research analyst. I was a girl who used to dream about the big proposal, and now she's doing it to him. This is all in the United Arab Emirates. Dubai influencer and business coach Nora Akamai, 27, had been planning to propose to her partner of 9 months, Khalid Alhani, a fellow influencer and engineer. Yeah, look at all these people with great jobs that are getting married, of course. Well, that's going to be happening because it's the UAE. That's not going to happen here. We don't have money in this country anymore. Now, there's something cool. South China Morning Post. They have created the world's first flying bike in Japan. Looks really cool. You should check it out. And then you have woman stops tidying up after her boyfriend shares results. She basically said, small victory. Internet has praised a woman who is documenting what happened when she stopped picking up after her boyfriend. According to Sociological Methods and Research, which I wasted my tax money on, a study says that average men tidy up for 10 minutes every day, but cleaning equates to a third of a woman's 1 hour and 20 minutes of household chores daily. Oh man, 1 hour and 20 minutes a day? Really? Really? TikTok user Adrian Darling was fed up with the mismatch in work at home and took matters in her own hands. I'm very much a neat freak. He is not. I stopped picking up after my boyfriend. Let's see how long it takes. For decades, oh man, he should have just left it. He should have left it a fucking hovel. She films things around the house, showing stuff he's left, like drinking glasses, shoes, a mess from cooking, and unsorted laundry. How do they understand we are their part? We are partners and not their maid, said one woman in the comments. Another viewer wrote, feels good, I'm not the only one, but I'm sorry you have to deal with this. And there's also evidence that the gender gap is rooted in gendered expectations. The idea of women as housekeepers in charge does not align well with 21st century living, where the majority of women are working full-time jobs that you guys took on yourselves. But the idea that women are judged for the cleanliness of their home more than men is still apparent. Yep. Lady, said another commenter on the video. As a 38-year-old about to divorce a man baby, run. It's over. Guys, fuck these women so you can just be as messy as you want. But don't be too messy. See, I got a little bit of clutter, water bottles and bottles, but no food. No, I didn't leave any food left around. I actually got Chili's this time. I'm happy. I got a really fucking badass fajita. I had to make them myself, but it was cool because they gave me all the ingredients. It was so badass. But yeah, I didn't leave a mess. I threw everything in the trash like you're supposed to. Huh, I guess I'm a catch if I do that. Ha 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 ha. Sounded like the count for a minute. Ha 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 ha. A one, a two, a three. No, let's not do that. Adults show poor cognition, better well-being with age. Significantly, worse symptoms of depression, anxiety, and loneliness were seen in younger people. Older people showed greater mental well-being. But when it came to cognition, test performance was worse. Well, I don't really know how to do anything, but I don't care! That's what you're thinking about. I'm gonna be that old guy watching fucking old anime cartoons and shows. It's like, Grandpa, where did you put the keys? Keys? Who cares about keys? It's like, you can just walk like we did back in the old days. I can't access my teleporter. You can walk. Walk there, Sonny. You know, we didn't have these flashy little things that you hit a button and you're in France. If I wanted France, I had to take a small tablet out of my... you don't even know what a tablet is anymore. It's not like a hologram. You just... It's a small little thing with a screen. I don't even know what a screen is. It was like a piece of glass. And it showed something. And that's how I saw France. Not like I could just go there. But here I am. Watching old anime. 1995 this one was made. I remember 1995. Better times back then. You can say what you want. The Chinese weren't around us all the time. Oh, there it goes. There's my alarm. Oh, damn it. Social credit score just went down again. Fuck. God damn it. Oh, well. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna die soon anyway. You just have a great time, Sonny. Hopefully you'll find the keys soon. Grandpa's gonna watch his anime. Okay. So there's a lot more we could talk about. Like the North American International Auto Show, which was depressing. They said it was once the pinnacle of the U.S. Automaker events prior to the pandemic was sparse and nearly empty. Nobody gave a shit about cars. They didn't care about cars. Nope. Ozzy Osbourne, Patient Number 9, highest charting solo album in the U.K. It is a great heavy metal record. It's got performances from Tony Iommi and Ozzy Osbourne on it. This might be the last time we hear these two men together on one record. You got Zakk Wylde on there. You got so much really good heavy metal. I bought the record. I got a physical copy of it. I hope you do the same. It's good to have a copy of Ozzy and Patient Number 9. Pick it up if you like heavy metal. Now, Donald Trump is mad that the FBI didn't remove their shoes before they raided his Mar-a-Lago home. Oof. Awful, right? I mean, damn. At least gotta show the good sense to remove your shoes before going into the house. I bet they left prints all over his floors. He's probably... was probably quite upset. So, yeah, that's some of the articles we have. We got a couple more. We'll cover those later. But for now, this is the Grim Lord, and I thank you for joining me on the Grim Rant Show, Grim Articles, whatever we're calling ourselves. And I'll see you next time with more rants and articles. This is the Grim Lord, and I am out. Enjoy the climb.